for that. I appreciate you playing this morning and bringing our special during the offertory. That was well done. Go to Mark chapter 4 in your Bible this morning, Mark chapter 4. We're going to read the first 8 verses of this parable that Jesus used and jump into just one eternal truth out of this parable and share it with you this morning. Hopefully, God will use it in our hearts, all right? Mark chapter 4, and let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book. And verses 1 through 8 we'll read. That's a little bit more lengthy than what we usually read, but it's all right. The verses are not that terribly long. Would you please join me on the even-numbered verses down through verse 8 of Mark chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Our Heavenly Father, please add your blessing now to the reading of your word. And then in a moment, as we begin to preach the eternal truths of this passage, I pray that your Spirit will be here in great power to do more than just tickle our ears with something, but God, to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray for great liberty in the service this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll be with the preaching time. May our hearts be ready, and we'll thank you. Use the song to help prepare us. I ask in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you, Mrs.
watching o'er my soul, my soul. For God's way is the best way. It's the only way for me. All things work together, yes, it's true. Regardless of trials you're going through, in times of doubt and fear, my Lord is still so near. Have faith in Him, His perfect will He'll do. Watching o'er my soul, for God's way is the best way, it's the only way.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Great song for us this morning. It's so well done. I hope all the young people who just sang and everybody as we listened to it, a song like that, His way is the best way even when things don't work out like we think they should. And I hope you always keep that in mind. I want you to look at verse number 3. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, the word seed is not found in that verse, but when he goes out to sow, he goes out to plant, so he goes out to what? Sow seed, right? And then if you look at verse number 8, and other, that's seed, fell on good ground and did yield fruit. And so I'd like to speak this morning on the subject from seed to fruit. Okay? From seed to fruit. Let's ask God's blessing on the message. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your plan for our lives. It is the best way for us, even when we cannot determine that by looking at it with human reasoning and understanding. May by faith we see it as the best way if it's your way. Help us today as we preach your precious word. Give me, I pray, a little touch and unction from above. May the Spirit have His way, I pray, in our hearts, in Christ's name. And amen. This is the well-known parable that Jesus taught about the effect of the Word of God upon the hearts of men. When I use the word men, I'm using it like many times the Bible does. I'm talking about mankind in general. In verse number 2, we read, the Bible says, and He taught them many things by parables. The word parable, if you like to mark your Bible, it means to cast alongside. To cast alongside. Jesus was the greatest and most effective teacher and preacher who's ever lived on planet Earth, all right? And many times, the Bible says that He taught or preached using parables. Jesus took a truth, a timeless, eternal, deep, profound, life-changing truth, and in order to get it across to the listeners, He would cast alongside it a story that the common person understood, and that story would help shed light on the truth. They may not be able to fully comprehend or understand the truth in itself. Because, friend, remember, we've got finite minds and truth is infinite. We've got mortal minds and truth is immortal. So sometimes it's very difficult for us, even with the Spirit of God living in us, to overcome all the human drain on us, if you will, and understand profound, deep truth. And so Jesus would take a simple story, something that the people were familiar with, the common people, and He would put that story right beside the truth. And the story would shed light on the truth. So here is the truth that Jesus is teaching in this passage or getting across to His listeners. The Word of God, if received by the human heart, will produce fruit in a person's life. Let me say it again. The Word of God, if received by the human heart, will produce fruit in a person's life. Now, unfortunately, not all human hearts receive the truth of the Word of God. Okay? And to illustrate that, Jesus used this parable. And He used the story of a sower, seed, and soil. And all of the people listening to Jesus preach or teach this were familiar with farming. It was one of the main occupations of the day, much as it is still in our day. You don't have to be a full-time farmer to understand sower and seed and soil. If you have a garden in your backyard, you understand sower, seed, and soil. If you have a flower bed at your house, in your landscape, you understand sower, seed, and soil. And you understand what simple story Jesus told here. He told a story about a sower, seed, and soil. In fact, He told about four kinds of soil. Look at verse number 3. I will not preach this. Look at verse number 3. He said, behold, there went out a sower. There's your sower to sow. And there is your seed. Okay? Just plant the plant seed. In verse number 4, you have the first kind of ground. It's called wayside ground. I'm not even going to talk about the wayside ground. In verse number 5, you had the second kind of ground. It was stony ground. In verse number 7, you have the third kind of ground. It was called thorny ground. And then in verse number 8, we have that fourth kind, that good ground. And other fell on good ground. So he told this story. And he said, here's a sower. And he's going out to sow or to plant seed. And there's soil out here. And so there's wayside soil, and there's stony soil, and there's thorny soil, and then there's good soil. And then he says in verse number 9, we didn't read this, but look at it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen up, he's saying. Listen up. Then in verse number 13, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, would you please explain to us what you meant by the story with the sower and the seed and the soil? And Jesus began his explanation, and I won't do that other than to say, look at verse number 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about the effect that the word of God has on a human heart. Listen carefully. The word of God, if it is received by the human heart, brings forth fruit in a person's life. The word of God, the seed. All right? I have my seed here this morning. The word of God, the seed. The Bible says the seed in this story, Jesus himself said the seed was the word of God. So I have my seed here this morning. All right? The word of God, the seed, all right, will bring forth fruit. All this stuff together. Will bring forth fruit. In a person's life. From seed to fruit. It all depends on what kind of soil. I got a bucket here of good old Illinois dirt. Good old black Illinois dirt. The seed becomes fruit. It all depends on the soil. Wayside soil doesn't bring forth any fruit. Stony ground doesn't produce any fruit. Thorny ground, you might see a little fruit, but it's not brought forth to perfection. Good ground produces fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Different amounts. Some 30, some 60, some 80. Some 100-fold. This is what happens in the life of a person if their heart is made of good ground. The Word of God, the seed, gets planted and brings forth fruit. There's people all over this church that look like this morning. It looks like this morning. From seed to fruit. Now listen carefully. Every seed of truth has the potential to bring forth fruit. I have 4 seeds here this morning. Every seed of truth. I'm not talking about this seed right here. I'm talking about what this seed represents. It represents a teaching from the Word of God. Okay? Every teaching from the Word of God, every doctrine from the Word of God, every truth from the Word of God has the potential to bring forth fruit. It all depends on the condition of the ground. The sower didn't have 4 kinds of seed. He didn't say, okay, this is my seed for the wayside ground, and this is my seed for the stony ground, and this is my seed for the thorny ground, and this is my seed for the good ground. No, he had 1 bag of seed, and he threw it everywhere, and it produced according to the type of ground it fell on. You're with me so far, right? Okay. The same word, the same seed that fell on wayside, stony and thorny ground, and did nothing, when it fell on good ground, it produced fruit. Every seed of truth has potential to bring forth fruit. There's nothing wrong with the seed. We know there's nothing wrong with the seed right here, okay? The seed is pure. The seed is powerful. The seed is productive. The seed has potential. There's nothing wrong with the seed. We got the seed right here. And we got the right seed. And we got the seed right here. Nothing wrong with the seed. It all depends on the soil. It all depends on the soil. Now, I want you to look at what Jesus said about the person whose heart is made of good soil. Because, look, friend, who in their right mind doesn't want this? I hope you want this in your life. I'll tell you this much. I'd rather meet Jesus Christ someday like this than this. I'd rather meet him like this than this. I hope you want that. And I'm telling you, every seed of truth has the potential to produce fruit. And you won't believe how simple this is, folks. You won't believe how simple it is from seed to fruit. Look at what the Lord said. Look at verse number 20. Drop all the way down to verse number 20, because in verse number 20 is where He begins to explain the effect of the seed on the good ground, what the good ground is like. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Remember now, He's not talking about farming. He's not talking about ground. He's talking about people's hearts. He's not talking about watermelon seed or bean seed. He's talking about the Word of God. Okay? He says here, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word. The people whose heart is made of good ground, number one, they heard the Word. Do you see that? It's very simple. Such as hear the Word. They listen and they hear. Folks, we have to realize how important it is to hear over and over and over and over and over again the words of God. It's important to hear it. Now, in fact, Jesus said, He said it right here. And He said it many times during His ministry. He said, if a man has ears to hear, let him hear. Every time He closed out a letter in the book of Revelation to those seven churches, He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear, 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 hear. Listen, you understand how important hearing is to somebody for them to get saved? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great promise, isn't it? If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. All right? But then He goes on to say, and how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Now wait a minute. If they call in repentance and faith, they'll be saved. But Paul says, how can they call if they don't believe? Do you know why people do not call on Jesus in repentance and faith? Because they do not believe. And then He asked this question. He said, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? If they call, they'll be saved. But in order to call, they have to believe. And in order to believe, they have to hear. If they don't hear, they can't believe. And if they don't believe, they won't call. And if they don't call, they won't be saved. They'll die and go to hell. But if they call, they'll be saved. And they'll call if they believe. And if they believe, they have a good chance of believing if they hear. And that's why Paul went on to say, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing, hearing. Jesus said, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word. They heard the Word. Now, this may seem to be a simple matter, and really it is, until you begin to understand how hard the devil fights and works to distract a person from hearing the Word of God. Now, people, listen to me. Just because you're just sitting in a service like you are this morning does not mean that you are hearing. I promise you. I started preaching about, 25 after, maybe 11:30. And by the time I finish this 35 or 40 minute message, we'll leave here and you can stop some people in the parking lot and they will have not heard one word of the sermon. Their minds are not engaged. They're not listening. And they go home patting themselves on the back thinking, boy, I've done a good thing today. I went to church. And I heard the preaching. Did you really hear it? Just sitting in a service doesn't mean that we are hearing. First of all, do you understand how difficult it is to retain all that you hear in a 30 to 40 minute message? One study I researched said, just because of human nature, one study said that a person only remembers 30% of what they hear. So if I speak for 30 minutes, a person has missed 20% of it, 20 minutes of it. James Crumpton told Dr. Gomez years ago, Brother James Crumpton from Natchez, Mississippi, told Brother Gomez years ago, he said, Brother Gomez, I'm not convinced that the people in our church don't hear but just 10% of what we say. 10%. And I don't know, but I will tell you that sometimes when you sit down and talk to people face to face and you start talking about things that you have preached on and preached on and preached on and they're ignorant about it, you're going, are you listening? Are you listening? They heard we're talking about from seed to fruit. They heard the Word of God. They heard it. Now, when you look at human nature, and if we only hear 30% of what we if we only really retain 30% of what we hear, and then you add to that kids misbehaving, babies crying, people talking. And I've said before, folks, please have mercy on me. Please be patient with me if I'm a little abrupt sometimes from the pulpit with people who are misbehaving or babies that are crying or kids who are misbehaving. It's not because I think I'm so important, but I know the potential that's in that seed right there. I know it. And don't tell me, look at me. 30 to 40 minutes on Sunday morning. 40 minutes on Sunday night. And 30 on Wednesday night. Add that up. In a 24-hour, 7-day week. It's not much time. So we got people, and that's why sometimes you don't, hey man, take your kids to the bathroom before the service begins, and you know what? Listen, they probably won't die if they don't get that drink of water. I've never seen one keel over in the pew yet from dehydration. I know sometimes people have emergencies, sometimes people have to go. Man, I've always sat on the platform. Rare, I'll sit in the pew tonight by my wife and enjoy it when Brother Bowersock preaches. That's rare for me. And of course, when I was at Marion Avenue, I was on the platform. Our kids were little. I used to watch her march out. Ben went out every service. I said, don't you just take him downstairs and whoop him before the service starts? Get it over with. Not every service. So if I'm a little abrupt sometimes, if I say, hey, folks, somebody got mad a few weeks ago because we had four or five people leave, and I said, Brother Griffin, nobody else come back in the auditorium. Some people got mad. Who does he think he is? But see who I think I am? I'm nobody, and she knows because she lives with me. But I know the potential of this seed right here. I got 40 minutes. I got 30 minutes. You're only going to hear 10 minutes. And you probably heard the 10 minutes of foolishness. And joking around. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then you add to that cell phones. Now mine's on vibrate. Oh, that helps. Like in the service, one of the services that I was sitting by Joyce some months ago, and the people, I don't know who it was behind me, and I'm not saying it was Scott, because I don't know if he has a cell phone here. And I don't know. I don't know who's it. But I'm not kidding you. What in the world? Who? What is? And I'm just saying, be calm. I wanted to turn around, take that cell phone, and just slam it. So what is so important that you can't sit for a half hour without it vibrating in your pocket? Leave the stupid thing out of your purse. You can't get to it anyway. My wife has that on her phone. Hi. The reason you got my voicemail is because my cell phone is in the bottom of my purse and I'm probably still looking for it. You know how aggravating that is about the third time? Cell phones are out of, they're the devil. They put stress on a marriage, ruin a church service. Leave the thing in the car. Leaving your coat hanging in the foyer, forget it. Why don't you try to give 30 minutes to God without somebody texting you? I've got to have it. Poor, poor billions of humanity that lived before cell phones. How could they ever survive? Poor souls. Pitiful souls like the great men in this country, George Washington, John Adams, Douglas MacArthur. Poor guy didn't have a cell phone. What could he accomplish? I'm being a little bit facetious, but not much. Not much. You see, we're talking about hearing. Hearing. I've been in services where God seemed to be speaking to people's hearts and good attentiveness. And at a critical point in the, message, an emergency vehicle goes by. Right out here. Now, unfortunately, we can't put stop sign and keep all emergency vehicles off the streets out here. But I have seen people's concentration snap by the sound of a police car going by. You see, I'm convinced that Satan knows the power of that book more than you and I do. He knows the potential of the seed sometimes better than us Christians do. Because it's kicked him and 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 kicked him in the teeth for all these years. So he knows. And I know you don't stop the service when the ambulance goes by and says, okay, service done, let's go home. You can't preach anymore. There's an ambulance going by. You don't do that. But I'm just making the point, folks, that the devil does everything he can to get us not to hear. I'm saying there is a great battle waged by the adversary, the devil, where hearing the truth is concerned. Because we're talking about from seed to fruit. And the first thing that Jesus said about the good ground, I didn't say it, Jesus Christ said it. He said the people who are good ground, they hear the word. They hear it. Can I give you a couple of suggestions about this? Number one, come ready. Come ready. You know, we really should be prepared to hear the word when we come to a service. Man, being here physically is important, but be here mentally. Man, did your dad ever say to you, if you played ball, son, get your head in the game. Get your head in the game. Concentrate. Think. The other day, I believe it was the Washington team, got an 8-1 lead on the Cubs. 8-1. And the Cubs come back and won. I know you can't believe it, but I actually read that. I mean, it really happened. They came back and won. That actually happened. You know what happened? Get an 8-1 lead. You got to lose your concentration. You're not engaged in the game. Well, we won this one. Man, where am I going to eat after the game's over? Well, I'm good. I'm here for church. I wonder if the line at the restaurant's going to be long. Get your head in the game. Get your head in the game. Keep it in the game. Come ready. Concentrate. Pay attention. It's summertime, and I've just been kind of amused, and not in a bad. I don't mean angered or anything, but just it's amusing to me. You know, the last 3 or 4 services, it's just been such a lethargy. It's summertime. It's hot. You work out in this heat all week, like some of you guys have that work outdoors. You know what? You're drained. And if you don't work outdoors, you're drained. And it's just heat, heat, heat. And you come in, you know, in the summertime, it's a little more relaxed schedule, a little more relaxed structure. If we're not careful, we just kind of, we're heading over to church. We're going to sit down and listen to the, you know, listen. Are you really going to listen? You with me this morning? Huh? Come ready. Number two, get engaged. Get engaged. Participate in the preliminaries, man. Get a song book and sing the song. You say, I don't know it. You'll get it. You'll get it. Sing the song and enjoy. I wrote this down. Enjoy the choir song, except for today. All right. And just smile and look around and see the visitors that are here and shake hands with each other. And say hello, and you see, why do I need to get engaged like that? Because you get out of it what you put into it. Number three, use a pen or a pencil. Man, I would encourage you to do that. Now listen, I think you can go to extreme. I think, you know, if you try to write down everything the preacher says, he may make a point, and if you're writing a lot, then you're missing about 5 or 6 minutes of the message. What I do, what I'll do tonight, I have a piece of paper in my Bible, always do, have a pen in my pocket, and I'll sit there, listen to Brother Bowersock. I'll write down his main points, whatever he says, number one, whatever he says, number two. Once in a while, the Spirit of God goes, man, alive, you ought to think about that. And I'll write the verse down. I'll write down what the Spirit of God said to think about. Think about this, look at this, write down the verse. But I don't want to be writing for more than about 15 seconds. Because the guy's going to say it, he's going to be on to something that I need to. Don't try to write it all down. Don't study your Bible in the service. Sometimes I think it's a matter of disrespect. But, you know, somebody preaches. That's good at home. This is not personal Bible study time. This is preaching time. Study your Bible at home. Study at home. That's a good place to do that. But you take a pen or a pencil, and just like the word parable means, circle the word parable, and write a little line to cast alongside. You learn the Bible. You write it down. You remember it. We're talking about hearing. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you hear. You see, the seed of truth can bear fruit in the human heart, but it must be heard. The seed of truth in the human heart can bear fruit, but it must be heard. Those that are good ground hear the word. Folks, let me ask you a question. If having a Bible full of truth was good enough for a Christian to be fruitful, tell me then, why did God ordain preaching? Why do we need it? What am I doing, spending my life doing this? What are you doing, spending your life every Sunday morning coming to listen? If this is in itself good enough for us, why in the world did God choose the foolishness of preaching? Because we need it. That's the way God has designed it. That's the way God's planned it. That's the way God has ordained it. And we must hear the Word of God. Hear it and hear it and hear it. And the Bible said those that are on good ground, they heard the Word. Are you listening this morning? Huh? Number two, look at verse 20. This is so simple, it's pathetic. Number two, not only did they hear it, but they received the Word. They received it. Now, this is different than just hearing it. Once you hear it, you have two choices. You can either receive it. What is the opposite? Or reject it. Receive it or reject it. This is where the difference is found in seed and fruit. You say, oh, Pastor, this is where the rubber meets the road. You say, well, Pastor, I would never reject the truth. Man, when I hear it, I receive it. Receive it is not just, okay, I heard it, and I received it. Yes, that's true. It's not affirming it. Receiving it is putting it to work. Receiving it is putting it to work. Listen very carefully. There is a great seed in Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's a great truth. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You have an argument with your husband this week? You have an argument with your wife this week? You have an argument with your parents this week? That turned ugly? Receiving that seed, that little seed found in Proverbs 15:1, receiving it is not the same as hearing it. Receiving it is not, okay, I heard it, and yes, I believe that. Receiving it is putting it to work. It gets planted in good ground because it's heard, and then it's remembered. And then when the husband says something nippy to the wife, or the wife says something nippy to the husband, or the parent says something a little abrupt to the teenager, or the teenager says something abrupt to the parent, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. And that seed produces fruit. Y'all with me? Let's see. Boy, oh boy, we came this close to having a severe argument. But I remember that truth in Proverbs 15, where a soft answer turneth away wrath. Instead of raising my voice at that, I just said, you know what? I know we need to talk about that. And a whole ugly argument is avoided. That's called fruit. There is a great seed in Isaiah 26, 3. There's a great seed in Philippians 4 when it comes to peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. When that truth is heard and received, I don't know where. I can't toss and turn. I can't go to sleep. Wait a minute. I heard a Bible message. And I heard a truth from Isaiah. And God talked about perfect peace. If my mind is stayed on Him, I'm going to put these things off my mind. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to think about His goodness. I'm going to think about all the blessings He's given me in life. Yes, there will be time to think about this, but right now, I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm not going to run to the medicine cabinet and grab a handful of pills. I'm going to let the seed of God's truth bring forth fruit in my life. Y'all listening? From seed to fruit. Pick a real pretty one for this one. That's a pretty one. Because there's a great seed in the Bible about tithing. That's why I picked a pretty one. And the Bible teaches that I do better on 90% of my income than I do 100. Because that 10% belongs to God. And if I'll give it to Him, God will supply my needs. Well, that sure doesn't sound fun. That sure doesn't sound right. But you know what? I heard that, and I heard it from the Bible, and so I'm going to receive it. I'm going to hear it, and now that I've heard it, I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to give God 10%. And you know what? Isn't that a pretty flower? Isn't that beautiful fruit? And folks, I could go on and on. Here's a great truth in Proverbs 13:20: He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Here I'm a teenager, and that seed of truth I heard from the Bible. Somebody preached it at camp or youth conference or Sunday school class, or the preacher preached on it. A companion of fools shall be destroyed, and a group of people pull up in front of my house, want me to run over to the mall and just spend some time at the mall, but they're unsaved people. You know what? I don't think I'll do that. I think I'll stick close by my home here, stick with my parents, and go to the youth activity or get with some good kids and play something in the yard. Because he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. See, that brings forth fruit. Now, folks, sometimes we look at a seed and I can't find them. They're buried, okay? But you look at a seed and you wonder, how in the world could that seed produce this? How can that happen? Let me ask you a question. If you'd never seen an oak tree, would you imagine that oak tree would come from an acorn? You'd never seen an oak tree in your life. And somebody said, okay, here's a seed, here's an acorn. Could you imagine an oak tree coming from that little thing? No. And I'm telling you, sometimes we hear seeds of truth from God's Word, and we think to ourselves, how in the world? That doesn't even make human sense. And sometimes the Bible is. The Bible truths sometimes are a paradox. You go up in life by going down. You get more by giving more. And you look at that seed and you go, there's no way that seed can produce this fruit. Oh, but friend, let me tell you something. This is not a human seed. This is a supernatural, spiritual, divine seed. It's full of truth. And let me tell you something. Just like that little acorn produces that massive oak. And you go, I would never have guessed that that tree would come from that acorn. You'll never guess what a life of obeying the Word of God will produce in your life. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather meet the Lord Jesus someday like this than like this. From seed to fruit, they heard the Word and they received it. They obeyed it. Practiced it, and boy, some brought 30, and some brought 60, and some brought 100-fold. Now, I'll tell you something. That's available for every person in this room. Every person in this room. That can be you and me. From seed. It all depends on this. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, would you please take the truth this morning and put it deep down in our hearts. And Lord, may our hearts be good ground, ready to not only hear, but receive your Word. Would you help us today? Would you help us today? I pray, oh God, may your Word bring forth fruit in lives all across this auditorium. And I thank you for it. Help us to hear the Word. And then, Lord, help us to receive it. To obey it. To put it to work. And I know it will bring forth fruit.